Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, and brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. About our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. About not ending in prayer, but moving to action. About Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." A lot has been happening in the world here as of late, and it's been kind of a roller coaster emotionally for a lot of folks that at least have contacted me. Just interesting stories I'm hearing from all over Washington State. I'm going to get to a couple of those soon, and particularly this push now to really actively silence Christians, patriots, people that disagree. Now, I'm not talking about, somebody saying, for example, that they want to kill all Christians and they're held accountable for that. I'm talking silencing dissenting views, trying to demonize dissenting views, trying to paint Christians, conservatives, patriots in a light that actually brings about violence against Christians, conservatives, and patriots. And it's the same demonization that you've seen, you see, if you go back and look at history, that ends up hurting people. It really does. It really ends up hurting people. And we're seeing it happen more and more. Google with their blacklist. You see what's happening with the President of the United States. You see really a rejection, really for the first time in American history, of the results of a vote, right? The Marxists did not accept the vote. And now the Marxists and their sympathizers want to really take away any free speech. Want to demonize things. Now, there are some legal issues with certain individuals doing that. But it is happening at an unprecedented scale. And part of that, and I'm going to get to this here in a bit, like at the national level, people weren't held accountable when they did breach really clear legal standards. And so what you're seeing, too, is a double standard. We're seeing, free speech for some, or if you violate the law, maybe nothing happens. And then there are some pretty strict laws out there in regards to protecting free speech. And it seems right now what's happening is these things are just being flouted. Because free speech, the right of conscience, is central, not just to our republic, but also to Christianity. God is a gentleman. He has allowed free will into the world to choose him or not choose him. And I don't want to get into the Calvinism. Okay, stick to the fact that God has allowed free will in the world. And I would actually argue that the existence of free will is necessary to actually have true love. You always have to have a choice, right, for there to be true love in the world. Because if you force somebody to make a decision, that's not really love. If you try to bully somebody, if you try to endanger their family and make them do, that's not love, right? It's not love. But God did allow free will into the world. God is a gentleman. It is at the heart of Christianity that there is a conscience, that you know right and wrong, and yet you still have to make a choice in regards to that. The four aspects of the soul, identity, reason, emotion, and will. And for us as Christians, if we identify as sons and daughters of the inheritance, that we put our emotion under Jesus Christ, if we put our reason and intellect under Jesus Christ, what about our will? What about our will? We still have to have it. You still have to have the choice back and forth. And what we're seeing today is the more the media comes out with stuff, right? And the more absurd it becomes. And everybody's looking at it saying, this is absolutely absurd. What are you arguing, mainstream media, that people should no longer have discussions about issues because you're going to try to hold it against them and you're going to try to punish them and you're going to try to take away their businesses and you're going to try to put their family in harm's way because you're effectively demonizing them to the point that some crazy people out there are going to take matters into their own hands? Or are you saying that people can't any longer have their own place in society, that their own voice in society? Christians believe, no, there actually should be this robust debate. And in the final analysis, Jesus Christ is indeed Lord and Savior. He has sent His Holy Spirit. And if you accept and receive Him, you have eternal life. But we can talk. But the Marxists can't do that. What the Marxists and their sympathizers have to do is to shut down your ability to even have the discussion. Because in the end, they know they'll lose it because truth is not on their side. In the end, they know it. They know that they will lose. Somebody tried to claim that Jesus was a socialist, and that's very easily refutable because Jesus abided by the Ten Commandments, and so Jesus didn't steal or envy, and yet socialism is based on those two things. So you can really quickly refute and show the absurdity of certain things, but you still are having the conversation. In this case, what we're seeing is the Marxists are trying to do some things that are illegal in many respects. And I'll get to some specific articles here in a second. And they're trying to make it so that if you're a conservative, if you're a patriot, if you're a Christian, you do not have a place for your voice. You shouldn't even have a voice. You shouldn't even have the ability to participate in the system. And I got to tell you something. That is a very scary ideology and position to take. Because that is the exact same position as Joseph Stalin, as the German government and the National Socialists, as the fascists in Italy, as the communist Chinese. And that's not what America is about. And it's interesting now that even if you believe the Constitution means what it says, if you believe the Bible means what it says, that now is what they are trying to use as grounds to take away your ability to have a voice. And ultimately, that's what I've been fighting for 12 years, and we're seeing a culmination of this. I've been fighting this for 12 years. People will say they disagree with me. Okay, we can have the disagreement. Let's talk. And usually we come to find out that they need to read a little bit more and they need to talk about some of the things that have happened in history a little bit more, or they know something that I don't. And we grow together. But now, no. If you believe a certain thing, like the Constitution means what it says, like it's good to have your Bibles and your guns, like the 10th Amendment means what it says, then suddenly all of this is what's happening. There's demonization and punishment. And I can tell you right now, the people that are, they're self-identifying, the folks that are demonizing, and those folks not only are on the wrong side of history, they're on the wrong side of love. And the Marxists today in America very simply want to destroy this country. And I, and along with many other people, have been fighting against this. And shows like Patriot Radio get you the information that you should expect from all elected officials, for that matter, but particularly ones that want you to be able to be armed with the facts to make the right decisions. And now they want to take that ability away. I want you to think about that tonight, particularly. Discuss it around the dinner table. You know, families still having dinner. Some people say we shouldn't even do that anymore, for goodness sakes. All right. That's going to move us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, Kashmir autonomy removed. Still watching that as a flashpoint. Not a lot, really not a lot being said out there about it. But I suspect that it is going to be a flashpoint because of something else that is in the news. And that thing that's in the news is that, and this coming to us from InfoWars, People's Liberation Army of China enters Hong Kong. China's movement of military vehicles into Hong Kong represents a serious escalation from tear gas and rubber bullets. So it looks like at 4 a.m. this morning, PLA troops moved into Hong Kong. Beijing is calling it a, quote, normal rotation of troops, except each truck that they're moving in is full. So representing what it appears to be thousands of soldiers. So very interesting there. And I think that that's why we want to watch this flashpoint in India and Kashmir, because we could see the Chinese do something very similar there next. Because again, if you don't understand what the Chinese trying to build, this road and rail network over the Himalayas through down Pakistan to a port in Pakistan to avoid the Straits of Malacca as a geostrategic move. You know, they're not going to let the Indian government try to stop that. So again, that's a flashpoint. Or even kind of remotely, you know, try it. Or even indirectly influence it. All right, also on the international front, Israel to Hezbollah, saying, quote, a crushing Israeli response will come even for a limited reprisal. That is a warning now. That is a warning to Hezbollah, which is an Iranian proxy. It's coming to us from Debka File. The Lebanese army has fired at two Israeli drones over the border. The IDF has closed Israel airspace up to the Lebanese border to civilian flights. Three Hamas police officers were killed in two mysterious Gaza explosions. Ayatollah Khomeini vetoes Rouhani's talks with Trump. And then this. And this is important. This is the kind of things that you look for. The leaves of the soldiers in the northern IDF combat units, because that's on the border with Lebanon and Syria, the leaves of those soldiers have been canceled. That notice was just issued today, canceling all furloughs and departures in the combat brigades serving on the Syrian and Lebanese borders. So things, again, escalating pretty significantly there in Israel and the Middle East. It's just, it looks like we're just witnessing just a plunge toward war in that area. And anyway, I'm just going to keep reporting on it and talking about it. I think there's even more to it. The Israeli elections are coming up here in September. It looks like they're trying to form a new type of coalition. Benjamin Netanyahu saying that he's going to be coming out with some sort of a major announcement. So we'll see what shakes down, but this area of the world just, again, becoming very touchy. All right, also on the international front, the United Kingdom's Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, called on the Queen of England to do something that apparently hasn't happened recently, and that's suspend Parliament. And he's doing it ahead of the October 31st date for Great Britain to leave the European Union. And here's kind of the bottom line with it. The way that the scheduling works, Boris Johnson is effectively making it so that there is far less time for parliamentary debate ahead of the new deadline, and it increases the odds of a no deal Brexit. So what he's doing is trying to limit the amount of time his opposition, the anti-Brexit folks, has to come against him, and by having this suspension by the Queen, and therefore increasing the odds of a no deal Brexit. Now, many guys I've talked to, and it's really fascinating in England. This was talked about by Mark Sutherland like a year ago that they were going to go this route, and this is exactly what we're beginning to see now. Now, I don't want to get into all the super snooty parliamentary stuff here, but the bottom line is, he's giving them a mere 2 weeks prior to the leave date, leaving little time for the opposition to mount any sort of a response. All right, on the national front, New American, lying, leaking Comey dodges prosecution, but IG report does not exonerate him. And the long list of things were leaking information in violation of policy. And even though prosecution of Comey has been declined, it's pretty clear that there was some wrongdoing that occurred. Based on this IG report. So you can kind of look at the details for that, but that just goes to underscore what we've been talking about on the show for a very long time, and that is that the deep state has been undermining Donald Trump from day one, and actually before day one. All right, this coming to us from WorldNet Daily, persecution of Christians particularly. This professor who said he wanted to kill all Christians boasted being part of the often violent far-left group Antifa. Anyway, my point is not bringing this up is that the violence being advocated by the Marxists is escalating, and we're seeing this happen all over the country, and yet it is as if it is not, it doesn't exist. Social Strife Association, John Brown Gun Club, Redneck Revolt, Antifa, very open statements. Redneck Revolt publishing the mini manual, a terrorist training manual, written by Carlos Marhila, who, by the way, was a Brazilian communist who was implicated in the kidnapping of a U.S. ambassador in 1969 and was later killed that year by police. Man, could you imagine? could you imagine if like a like a shooting club or something published the mini manual. I mean, could you imagine what the national furor that, and it's like this has never happened. Also on the national front, the Marxists as well, Facebook is now backed down in its censorship of The New American. Small win, small win. On the Islamist front, Representative Ilhan Omar saying that and calling that for the United Nations to have authority over the U.S. border crisis. I want to say that again. Omar is calling, this is a sitting U.S. Congresswoman calling for U.N. authority over the U.S. border crisis. In other words, asking for extranational intervention over the U.S. border crisis. And this really signals where these guys are going, doesn't it? I mean, this signals where they're going. They do not want the United States making independent decisions as an independent nation. They want to have some extranational authority coming in telling us how we need to live our lives, just like the socialists want to do here in this country, right? They want to have somebody outside the state of Washington, somebody outside the state of Idaho, somebody outside the state of Oregon, saying this is what's good for you. And that's what the deep state's been doing for a very long time. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, said last month she was appalled by U.S. border detention conditions and said that holding immigrant children may violate international law. Ken Cuccinelli, the acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, said in an ABC News interview that Congress could address the conditions by providing more funding and changing asylum laws that encourage migrants to come to the United States. Quote, Congress let that happen. End quote. So you can see that article on WorldNet Daily. But this just, again, this tells you exactly where these folks are headed. And it is just not, it's just not unheard of for, it's just not unheard of that these people literally will advocate for the erosion of American sovereignty, the undermining of the United States Constitution, and do it with a straight face in public with no shame and apparently no consequences. It's quite remarkable, actually, because just 30 years ago, that would have been laughed out of the room. Unbelievable. All right. Also on the national front, there's another kind of push regarding outlawing encryption. Encryption now being used by a lot of different people to keep their personal information personal and secure. And I think that that's pretty critical to have happen. And they always use the safety issue. It really isn't about that. It's about not allowing your data to become this thing that it is where, you know, it can be used to manipulate people. Or you have people that try to steal your identity. All right, also on the national front, as I mentioned, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that electors could not be bound by law. So what that means and effectively does, I think, is completely undermine the national popular vote movement, which says that all the electors of a state must vote for the popular vote winner, even if that popular vote winner is not who won in that state. And so this 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling effectively says that electors cannot be bound, and this was the Founding Fathers' intent as a check and balance in the system, cannot be bound by these state laws. Most famously, Senator Mike Patton was one of these electors back, I think, in 1976, where he voted for Reagan, even though all the other electors were voting for Gerald Ford. So very interesting. All right. On the regional front, Liberty State, picking up massive steam, huge progress. The organization is growing by leaps and bounds. There is a huge move now to have county commissioners put on as an advisory vote, which is legal and legitimate. In fact, there's an attorney general opinion on advisory votes. The issue of whether a county wants to become part of Liberty State. And so that is moving forward. And you have quite a huge positive response at county fairs throughout Eastern Washington right now. Future Liberty State. But it's interesting that the Marxists have cropped their head up again, trying to stop the free speech of those folks that want to have a Liberty State booth. And they're trying to smear it now and try to pin it with all the, you know, here's the bottom line. If you still want 12 tax increases, which you're going to have to vote on this fall, if you want more funding to Planned Parenthood, if you want your guns confiscated, if you want less property rights and less freedom, then Western Washington, downtown Seattle, that, you know, and I'm specifically speaking of King County right now, is for you. But if you want freedom, lower taxes, more property rights, you don't have to worry about your guns or the murder of innocent children, then Liberty State is for you. And all these guys are out there right now, they're trying to gin up this thing about, you know, what Liberty State is about. But the fact of the matter is, it's been very clear from the beginning. And these folks that are out there at the fairs are having quite a positive response from all over. And now they want to try to ban their from being even a Liberty State booth. Why? Because they are afraid of the truth. That's why. They are afraid of the truth, and they know the only way to stop the truth is to try to muzzle it. And we aren't going to allow that to happen. Also on the regional front, I'm hearing this coming now from Christian schools, this particular Christian school on the west side of the state, that there has been a push now to ban kids who have not been vaccinated in even private Christian schools. Very interesting. Or private schools, just let alone private schools. That's fascinating. Again, if it's a conscience issue, if somebody doesn't want to inject their body with a vaccine line that has been created from aborted fetal tissue, they should have that ability. And yet, now, like I mentioned last time, you have this persecution coming now from inside what would be ostensibly the Christian church. Very interesting. On the local front, once again, just want to say thank you to everybody who showed up for my fundraiser last week. Massively successful, most successful fundraiser I've ever had. Doubled the amount of money normally that comes in. Just thank you, everybody that's been a part of that. Thank you, everybody that has been supporting the campaign and Patriot Radio, getting the truth out. Just love you all. I really appreciate you. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for me in Victoria. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember that you can go to VoteShea.com, support the cause. And remember, too, Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean, getting the truth out everywhere, even beyond Liberty State. All right, it's my honor to introduce my guest today, Glenn Morgan, We the Governed. Glenn, it's great to have you back on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And I do want to reiterate, since I was there at your fundraiser last week, that and I've been at several of them over the years, that was an awesome turnout. I mean, filled every table and people standing outside the building. So that's always a good sign in politics.
It really is. And I think that people just, they're so hungry for the truth, and they're seeing what the mainstream media is doing and just kind of sick of it. And you've been a good counter to that with some of your articles that you've been putting out. What do listeners need to know? I mean, what is new? I mean, what's kind of the new in the crazy world that, that you try to put some sort of words around to describe?
Well, you know, one of the things I am trying to emphasize a little bit more, and it's been a theme that I've had ever since I was, at the Freedom Foundation, years ago, is that I think people, and this is really a product partially of the collapse of the media, where there's really no such thing as traditional media being a watchdog on government anymore, that government has gotten really, I'm talking about the bureaucracy here more than anything else, and the special interests that kind of feed on it, has really gotten more and more out of control. And every time you hear a story of, corruption, you had a case out in Spokane not that long ago, where somebody's been stealing money, or you hear of these other cases that are happening, I think that people have to realize that is just the teeny tip of the iceberg, that there's a substantial problem that we've really allowed to grow in government, where it's just gotten out of control and bloated, and there's a lot of self-dealing and manipulation going on. And I thought that the speaker that you had at your fundraiser, actually, I really enjoyed chatting with him afterwards, from the from North Dakota, the auditor of North Dakota, really did a great job kind of explaining that too. But I think that there's a lot more of that going on in a state, particularly a state like Washington, that's been dominated by one political party for so long. But just because you might have Republicans in charge locally, that doesn't mean this isn't happening there too. And when you dig deeper and you're actually willing to look closer, you start to uncover a lot of problems. And I'm encouraging more and more people to do that and to realize that, and by exposing the truth, that's the first step and being able to make significant and tangible change, and that people should be looking much closer at their local government and take the time to go through those finances, go through those books. I put up a video about the city of SeaTac, and so the citizens that stood up and ran for office and got in there, and just doing simple things like going through all the expenditures that staff was, spending money on every day, that they would go through those once a week. And by just doing that, they saved the city $170,000 because staff just stopped doing things that were really questionable, spending money on stuff that they didn't need. And I think that if that was repeated throughout the state, you would see millions and millions of dollars that would be not wasted. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily corruption, but it's certainly incompetence or it's waste. And that's all money that comes out of our pockets. It's money that, either it's going into debt or it's money that's being taken from us that could be used better in our own lives. I think we can spend money better than government can. And the bureaucrats dispute that theory. But I think that people need to realize there's a lot of that going on out there, and it's we just have to stand up and start drawing attention to it and discovering for ourselves where these problems are and starting to expose them.
I think that's absolutely right, and it's interesting that facts and truth, like what we're talking about right now, has really taken a back seat to this, hey, what do you believe, Glenn? Because if you believe the wrong way from me, we're coming after you. We're going to punish you. We're going to censor you. And like even the mainstream media, which should be the watchdog over these corruption issues, is solely focused on trying to destroy people now. And we're seeing this all over the country, not just in Washington.
No, we are. And, the thing is that I think it's worth looking where you live, though, first, because, I'm a fifth generation Washingtonian. You've been here a long time. Your family's been here a long time. And this is my home. I'm not leaving. I want to change this place. And I can't change what's going on in D.C. so easily, but I sure can make an impact where I live. And what I find is you get together with like-minded people, and it doesn't even matter. Even downtown Seattle, the heart of darkness where evil prevails, even there, you get together with some activists, you start to expose these things about how they're mismanaging funds, wasting money, giving kickbacks to their friends, ripping off the taxpayers, squandering the grants, whatever it is. And the truth is whatever it is, and you just start exposing it. I think that regardless of what people believe, nobody tends to like corruption. And corruption oftentimes disguises itself in incompetence. Most people have become used to the fact that government is incompetent most of the time. And so, but I think there's a lot more corruption that gets hidden and disguised by the incompetence of government and by people and citizens willing to start exposing that. And you do see this even in cities like Seattle or Olympia or Bellingham or Vancouver, Tacoma. As these things start to get exposed, it does start to trickle out. It starts to make an impact. It starts to force the bureaucrats to kind of withdraw their tentacles maybe a little bit, drop their policy ideas, abandon certain concepts. And if we just kept that up, I think you'd see a much more change that's going on. I think there's a hunger for this in our state and throughout the country, but you start here and you demonstrate it where you live. And, you know, if you can change City Hall, next thing you know, you can change the state. So I think that you got to start where you live and you start working on those issues. And don't think that just because you live in a county that's run by Republicans or, you know, or you think they're great guys, that it's not happening. I mean, sometimes this stuff is going on regardless of who the local elected officials are, because they've been cut out of the loop in the structure that most bureaucracies have kind of created for themselves in the state.
Well, I think this is the important point of everything that we're talking about. You know, we the governed is an intentional title that you use, because it has to be the people. We can't count on something else, right? What it, name that body, right? Something else, the mainstream media, right? Some watchdog works. You can't depend on somebody else. It's got to be us, because then we have ownership and skin in the game.
Correct, because the natural tendency, it's a human tendency, and we all have it, where you think that, you know, I'm just assuming that there's an audit process that's going to fix that, or the state auditor will come and do a review, or if I just call up that person and have them, you know, look at this, maybe they'll fix it for me. But that's not the way it works. You know, you don't outsource, at least I hope you don't outsource the education of your kids to somebody else entirely. You don't assume that the guy fixing your car is always going to do the right thing. You pay him to do it, but you still double check, you know, and you look, I mean, we do this in our life as, you know, all the time, but we rarely do it with government. And, it's something that I think more people need to do. And it doesn't, you don't have to be a miracle worker. I work with people all around the state, activists who've decided to get involved with something that matters to them. And many times there are people who are retired, or sometimes they have disabilities or something. And so they this is something they can do, and they start to dig into it. And it's just like going down, you know, Alice in Wonderland. You go down the rabbit hole, and next thing you know, you find all kinds of things. And then that leads to exposing the truth and then telling the truth, and eventually that leads to change. And it starts with us. We can't just assume that somebody else is going to do that. You know, people shouldn't assume that because you're in Olympia that you're going to be able to, you know, do miracles. You need a lot of other legislators to help you. You need activists out there to bring you information. You need people to help question or testify. We can't do this alone. This is really a team thing, but it starts with us, and then we build our own teams and our own coalitions to start to make these changes and start to expose the truth.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a couple of issues. The first is on the west side of the state. There is quite an interesting thing happening in Olympia, where Olympia is becoming kind of a garbage dump. And also Evergreen State College is kind of collapsing a little bit. So if you can, tell the listeners a little bit about both those things.
Well, and this is, so Olympia has chosen to go down, just like Seattle, and in many ways, Olympia is a little mini-me of Seattle. When Seattle makes a terrible policy choice, Olympia decides, the city council in Olympia decides they have to imitate it. And so Seattle is having these homeless camps, drug addicts, and just horrific urban decay that they were introducing and recruiting and supporting through their grant program and their policies of not enforcing the law there. Olympia decided that that was a great outcome, and they decided to do the same thing. And so they have these horrific homeless camps and drug addict camps. I mean, places I've had to go with people, many people, to wash my back, because there's crime, there's all drug dealing going on, there's all kinds of stuff, and they're ugly. They're throwing garbage everywhere. They're back in the green spaces. Supposedly Olympia is an environmental place, but that only applies to you and I when we want to build a house on our 30 acres somewhere. They'll throw the environmental rules at you. But when a homeless camp decides to locate itself right next to a salmon stream, they'll let them dump toxic waste, drug needles, garbage, spear the salmon. They'll let them do anything. And this disconnect is really starting to hit a lot of people who might even call themselves Democrats or liberals. They're starting to realize there's something ugly and problematic with this policy. It's an experiment in urban blight development, and Olympia's been very good at it. Well, a lot of this encouragement for this from an ideological standpoint of promoting this homeless drug addiction kind of lifestyle has come out of Evergreen College. A lot of students there, some professors. And, you know, Evergreen College has really become, it's an embarrassment to really call it a college or any education at all. You know, I live here in Thurston County, so I get a chance to see this. And, you know, most people who run businesses here, they won't hire Evergreen College graduates. most parents who live here won't let their kids go there to college. And even left-leaning parents don't want their kids to go there because it's just become a joke, and it's just an indoctrination center. And you can still send your kid to get indoctrinated into the college. In fact, you can send your kid to get indoctrinated into the college. They can have riots. They can do whatever they want there, but at least they get a degree that's worth something. Evergreen College has a combination of everything bad: poor education environment, degree that means nothing, and it just keeps decaying. And so one of the suggestions that I thought is that we would have for all these homeless camps is, why not move those camps up to the Evergreen College? If you're going to, if you feel like you have to have all these homeless drug addicts around, just move them up to the Evergreen College and turn that into a homeless camp instead. And perhaps that's a solution to the homeless drug addict problem that Olympia has. Now, Evergreen College has not responded very positively to that idea, but at the same time, their college enrollment has collapsed. You know, 50% reduction in freshmen coming in, and they've had to do three rounds of layoffs now, and the college is rapidly shrinking. In fact, you know, it's really one of those things that we really should cut and eliminate from the budget. There's no real reason to keep that college going. But you do have 1,000 acres of beautiful land, and the buildings are largely built out of concrete. They're very durable. They have kitchen facilities and bathrooms. You could really convert it into a homeless camp solution in the short term while they're still trying to, you know, drug rehabilitation or something like that. And at least we'd get some value out of the what's going on there instead of the net negative impact that the college itself tends to have in the community.
And that makes sense, too, because there are dormitories there. There's kitchen facilities there. All the infrastructure is there to do this. It's just a matter of changing fewer things than you would if you had to build something.
Oh, yeah, and it's a lot cheaper, which is the other thing that they don't like about it, because one thing we have seen with this whole homeless drug addict scene is that they don't want to help the people who are addicted. They don't want to help them change their life. They don't want to help them turn around. They don't want to help them comply with norms and standards of living in a modern society. Instead, they want to facilitate a lifestyle or a drug addiction that is harmful to them and to the people who are around them. And part of the reason for that is that there's a lot of money. I just don't think people realize there are millions and millions of dollars, even in a little city like Olympia, that are kicked out in the form of grants and fundraisers and cash and stuff. And most of that money goes to these activists who manage those programs. It doesn't really get to the people at the end of the day who supposedly they're helping. So when you have that kind of incentive to get all this money that's almost completely unaudited, then there's no incentive to actually fix the problem. They don't really care. They want the problem to get as, be as bad as possible. And so they don't want to move it to Evergreen because that actually might be a solution. And so that's, it's just been a fascinating thing to look at. And I encourage people to look at, you know, really be questioning any of these programs. They say they're going to build affordable housing. None of this is about really solving the problem. It's about perpetuating it and making it worse. I actually wrote a statement in the Voter's Guide a couple years ago when there was a tax increase put on the ballot for the citizens of Olympia, and there was a property tax increase. The logic being that if we can keep increasing the cost of living in a home in Olympia, that somehow that's going to help encourage other people to be able to live there more affordably. And that's never made much sense. But one of my arguments against it have also been that the more money that they're going to put into this so-called homeless services, the worse the problem would get, almost proportional. So you put more money in, it just keeps getting worse. And sure enough, I just didn't expect it to get as worse as it did. I mean, it actually accelerated it, and it got a heck of a lot worse. And I actually have copies of flyers that activist groups were actually handing out in cities like Atlanta and Detroit and Chicago, recruiting people to come and live in Olympia or Seattle or in the West Coast in general, because there was so much cool free stuff, free tents, free needles, pots legal, free transportation, free clothing, free Wi-Fi. Let's come out here and the police won't kick you out of your tent. And so what do you think you're going to be attracting? Usually people want to attract businesses or some productive members of society. You know, they want people to move in to really help improve the community. But these activists have been actually recruiting drug addicts or people who have kind of a homeless lifestyle, and their flyers clearly show that was what that's their objective. And so the outcome is inevitable, which is what we see today. And it's been shocking to a lot of people. And if nothing else, it's woken up, I think, quite a few people to the problems of this kind of out of control homeless, infrastructure, industrial complex that we really see going on here.
I was doing street ministry down in downtown Spokane, and and my wife has witnessed this as well in downtown Spokane, and you'll say, hey, what about Union Gospel Mission? You know, you've got a place to stay. And well, there's too many rules.
Right,
and the rules,
right.
The rules are, you know, three things, right? Don't do drugs and alcohol. You have to do a chore, right? And then they have a Sunday service. Well, so these accountability things are really what's being attacked right now. And when you don't have accountability, it's just perpetuating the problem.
Right. And, you know, if you sit down and talk to some of these people, and, you know, I've been around, I have some friends of mine that have spent years working on the streets in Olympia, just in Olympia. So it's a small enough city, you actually get to know a lot of these people there. You actually know the backstory, or at least the backstory they give you, on who these homeless people are, the people that claim they're homeless. And drug addiction is a problem in about 90% of the cases. It could be 85%, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. And then you have a substantial problem with mental illness. Sometimes they go hand in hand with their drug addicted and they're mentally ill. But a lot of it too is just this willingness to say, listen, you know, we're in these homeless camps. They let them stay in some of these, they call them sponsored camps, and they get free Wi-Fi. They have free showers. They have, you know, free tents. They get free clothing. They get free food. They get free needles. You know, it's a lot of stuff's given away for free. And so what do you think is going to happen? I mean, you're going to just encourage them to maintain the drug addiction lifestyle. And anybody that's been around someone who's been addicted to drugs and tried to get off of it, they don't get off of it because you're enabling their lifestyle. They get off of it when they hit rock bottom or something happens and they decide to turn their life around. You can't fix a drug addict just, you know, remotely. They have to make that decision for themselves, and it's not an easy process. It's very difficult. And this every program that they're putting in place right now is exactly the opposite. It's about enabling, encouraging, and promoting it. And law enforcement sees the hands just get completely tied, and they're discouraged from intervening or being able to have any impact. And so you have these horrible stories that are coming out. I noticed the city of Seattle is being sued by a Portland couple that was attacked by a homeless guy who had a bat, baseball bat, and beat him up. And he had been arrested 72 times in Seattle before he did that. And those kind of stories, unfortunately, we're going to just keep seeing more and more, because this program is this concept of just enabling it's going to continue. And you see it happening in Spokane right now.
Well, I want to shift gears a little bit in the last few minutes that we have. Jim Castrolang here in Spokane, you've done several articles on him exposing some of the things that he's been involved with. If you could, for the listeners,
yep.
I think it's important that they know who he is. He's behind a lot of the smear attacks, apparently, that have been coming out recently. And I mean, that's to be expected, but I think it's important that folks understand who he is.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this is not an honest guy. You know, the articles I've written, of course, have been mostly about his financial shenanigans, you know, and he's supposed to be a pastor of this church up in Colville. And you know, I've posted up pictures of him, and I've even posted up sermons that he's done. You know, the devil made me do it. You know, it's a classic sermon that Jim Castrolang has given. And I don't know that has been his defense in most of the things that I've exposed about that he's done in the past, but he's not an honest person. He's clearly gone out of his way to what I caught him doing was trying to hide the fact that he was getting paid by the Spokane County Democrats and conceal it from the public actively, and to manipulate the books to hide money and to hide information and to really just do a lot of very dishonest and deceitful things. It was actually one of the worst. There were a lot of Democrat Party groups that had problems with compliance, but Spokane had just problems with genuine malfeasance in what was actually going on. And he was the guy in charge of the whole thing. And you know, he got fined specifically and individually. Bob Ferguson was actually forced because I had filed a complaint against him. And Jim Castrolang ended up being named personally and was fined personally for those violations. This isn't just me making up a story. It's a fact. And there's a judgment and a fine to prove it. But It's far worse, I think, than what people realize. And anytime you have somebody like that that's manipulating, willing to lie, willing to kind of cheat and steal their way, even from their so-called friends or political allies, I don't know that you're going to expect to see different behavior from that guy when he does other things. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, I think he kind of tries to hide behind the fact that he claims he's a pastor. You know, I won't say he claims, he is a pastor up there, but he's certainly not living a life that you would tend to expect to see from somebody who is supposedly trying to follow Jesus and, you know, do the right thing. He's got a history of really doing some, you know, dishonest and very, very questionable behavior. And it's shocking to me that he still stays so engaged and involved in the political process. And, you know, he does definitely seem to extract money out of it for himself.
What's interesting to me that so many people are associated with him still. That's what's fascinating to me. But in the last 2 minutes that we've got, and I appreciate everything that you're doing out there, but if people want to get involved or learn more about We the Govern, where can they go? And where do you see the next year and 2 months going? I mean, what do you see happening?
Well, and I guess you're mostly talking about elections, right? But so WeTheGoverned.com, I would recommend people go there if they can and subscribe to it if you can, because one of the things I have seen is that there's definite manipulation in search engine results and in efforts to shadow ban sites like mine. You know, like me on Facebook, look at my YouTube channel, but definitely go to the website and subscribe so that you'll just get the articles as I write them. They'll get emailed to you. And it may be soon that for a lot of conservative groups, that may be the only way we can communicate with each other, because a lot of these social media companies are trying to shut down. Citizens have to get involved on their own. They have to step up and vote. They have to. Apathy is what the other side wants us to have. Government wants us to be apathetic. They like low voter turnout. They like people who don't care. They like meetings that nobody attends. We have to resist the natural tendency to be frustrated with it all and be apathetic. We have to be engaged. And I think there's a backlash against this big government nanny state push that, and especially with high taxes and some of the abusive regulations that we see being imposed on people, I really think there's a movement to push back against that. Very unorganized, very grassroots, very different reasons in different communities, but it has at its essence this desire of citizens to reject this overwhelming pressure of government to kind of control their lives and certainly take their money. So I think that as the economy, you know, we may be seeing a slowdown in the economy, or even the economy is slowing down in a significant way. And I think that's going to even encourage people even more to get involved and support those who are willing to get up there and run for office and do the right thing. We need to keep them in office.
We absolutely have to. We absolutely have to. And, you know, I've seen a lot of election cycles now. I guess I can say that. You know what I mean? I've been through a lot of them. The level of personal hate and vitriol has reached something that's just, it's just not even conscionable anymore. How do you think, I mean, because we ultimately have to live with each other. How do you think people can de-escalate in where they're at in society?
Well, I think the one thing to remember when you see something and you see somebody, you know, probably conservative audience, I'm a conservative guy, libertarian guy, it's easy for us to immediately go back and call them names, right, or do the same thing that they're doing to us in that way. And I think you want to resist that. And you want to resist that for several reasons. Number one, because it's the right thing to do. Don't call people names. Don't devolve down to that level. But also, if you think about it, you only prevail with your idea if you can convince others that to join with you. And nobody likes a bitter critter. Nobody likes somebody that's angry all the time, that calls people names. They want to be around somebody that feels like that's hammering away, that's having a good time, that's the you know, happy warrior out there continuing to fight. You're much more likely to gain allies and supporters. And even people who disagree with you today, you may be surprised how many of them will cross over and start to want to work with you you, and you have to be approachable in that way. And you aren't approachable if you're out there calling names. And I'm going to tell you, I think the left is making a huge mistake in their approach, and they think it's successful. And they may have individual successes, but I think long-term it's a very destructive path that people are naturally going to be resistant to, even internally in their own groups. And we want to make sure we don't just become a mirror image of that from a different perspective. We want to be better than that and doing the right thing and, you know, avoiding going down into the, you know, into the slums that way. The truth is the truth. I think you still have to expose it. You have to be willing to confront, you know, people who are doing the wrong thing. But you don't have to call them names, and you don't have to, you know, devolve to that level what we see all the time. I mean, the letters I get, I mean, Matt, I know you get a lot of these too, but, you know, just it's just ridiculous, you know, and it's absurd. And it's worth probably just exposing how ridiculous it is sometimes. I know I've posted death threats up before that I received. And, you know, and it's worth just showing how ridiculous some of this really is. And perhaps over time that's enough to start pushing back. But I do believe the left's doing it because they think that it's a path, a successful path for them right now, and we really want to resist that as best we can.
Yeah, absolutely we do. Well, Glenn Morgan, thanks once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. Appreciate everything you're doing, and keep up the fight over there. Look forward to seeing you sometime soon.
Sounds good, Matt. Thank you for having me on the air.
All right. Glenn Morgan, We the Governed. You can check out his articles there. Very well done, too, and very well researched if you haven't ever seen him. And we're seeing this happen in downtown Spokane. Exactly what happened in Seattle and then in Olympia, and now we're seeing it in Spokane. It's because of the policies. It's because of the policies and lack of accountability, and it's that simple. I know there's a lot of folks out there who, you know, are putting their hopes on, you know, this next election, you know, but we just need to remember our hope's not in man, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And we need to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, continue to make disciples, show tangible love, and then politics will follow. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.